This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
They say that sleep is the foundation of everything. That's what I say, at least. Mattress Mack says that sleep is nature's wonder drug. For a couple of Houston athletes, sleep has been the gateway of good news lately. Here was C.J. Stroud talking about finding out about the Stephon Diggs trade last week.
I found out I was actually asleep. I was been in the West Coast. I've been back home in L.A., so I was knocked out, and I keep my phone on do not disturb. I get a lot of phone calls, and so I didn't really know. And I woke up, and my boy Chase B texted me. He's like, "How you feeling, bro?" And I'm good, fam. How are you? And so like, and then I had sent like five texts like that, and then I woke up for real. This I was kind of like halfway texting in the bed. Woke up, brushed my teeth, washed my face, you know. And then I seen the news, and I seen it on like Instagram. I'm like, oh shoot, that's what they talking about. So I didn't even tell Chase B or anybody like that. That was what I was implying, which is really just checking. I thought he was checking up on me, but it was cool. You know, it was really fun to see that. And this past, this last year I didn't have the opportunity to go before OTAs and have guys come out. I'll probably do something again. Hopefully after OTAs, but that was just like, hey, man, I'm up here throwing, like, you guys want to come down? And, man, it went great, though. Like, Mitch really, like, looks amazing. He looks really, really all the way back, you know. And then Tank looks great, and so did Diggs and a couple other guys who came out.
I enjoy CJ, the storyteller. He's very detailed. Got up, brushed my teeth, washed my face, you know. My guy Chase B.
He does a good job because he does it in a playful manner, and he does a good job of kind of teasing you at the beginning a little bit with the chuckle and the laugh, and then, hey, you're about to hear a good story.
Yep.
That's a good thing, kids. Don't oversell the story ahead of time, but look like what you're about to tell is worth hearing, you know?
Yeah, he sells it, man. No doubt about it. So that was...
go ahead.
No, I was going to say, that was CJ. Let me hit Forrest here real quick. We'll circle back to CJ just to pay off here. Because, see, that was CJ finding out good news while he was sleeping. Forrest Whitley yesterday got called up to the major leagues. How did he find out?
I was half asleep and just kind of woke up briefly for a minute, and I was getting a call from our AAA manager, Mickey Story, and I was like, well, it's going to really mean one thing, pick up the call. And it's the first time in my life I'd really kind of felt that surreal moment where I was kind of having a hard time discerning real life from what was actually going on, but it was a pretty crazy moment.
What was the first thing you did when you get that call?
Like, told my wife. Told my wife. She was downstairs, and I went and surprised her. She didn't believe me for the first, like, minute, and then eventually set in, and she got pretty excited as well. And then I tried to communicate with as many people as possible, but it was late at night, so the moment definitely was pretty special, obviously, with everything that had kind of led up to it. So, you know, just try to make it pay off.
Moral of the story, take naps, man. I need take a nap.
Well, he said it was late at night. I think he was asleep.
Okay.
I think it was his actual
sleep. More. Get good sleep. Yeah. That's when the good news comes in.
I think that, get your Z's. Yeah. I think, honestly, the ricochet effect in a positive way for Forrest Whitley, who knows? But maybe if he comes in, you know, after finally becoming a reliever, after so many years of just struggling and struggling to stay healthy as a starter, he becomes a reliever. Maybe he does well as a reliever.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe one Lance McCullers looks at that and says, oh, you know what?
And I've already gotten paid.
I know I've fought this tooth and nail step along the way. But, man, there's part of – this is where I am with Lance at this point. It's like I understand how devoted and committed he is and that he's set like, nope, I'm a starting pitcher. But
yeah.
I feel like he could be an incredible reliever.
Oh, I do, too. I've said it for years. Yeah, I agree with
variety.
You.
Variety. Yeah, it's not like my original thought or anything.
Yeah.
It's not like nobody else is talking. Lots of people have said this.
Yeah.
But especially that you come in when people are primed to handle the heat of a reliever or a closer, and you see a vicious curveball instead. It's tough, man. You only got one time through the rotation to adjust to his curveball, whether it be long relief or anything else. I don't know. Maybe he's there already. Who knows? But, yeah, the – CJ was, it would have been like 8 a.m. local time. Are we okay with CJ sleeping into 8 a.m.?
Yeah, I think so. He's
Pacific
still,
time.
Yeah, because he's still in the, A, he's still kind of in the off-season part of the off-season. You know, like the decompressed part of the off-season. And B, we do know that he was doing work out there. You know, he was throwing the ball. Well, he eventually did work once Diggs got out there. You know what I mean? But he was probably doing stuff before that. I'm guessing he's got a trainer out there that he works with. You know?
He does. He said he talked about the 2 weeks that he had been doing, cleaning up some stuff with his
8
mechanics
o'clock.
And working on before he showed up here. And I'm
good with 8 o'clock.
I would never be act like guys got to be up at the crack of the dawn, track of dawn 12 months out of the year.
Of all people, you and me were like, nope, everybody's got to get up at 3:45 a.m.
Yes. the strangest thing about that, honestly, that I found was CJ saying that he gets a lot of phone calls.
I thought the same thing, yeah.
For a guy his age, I feel like this is an indication that he does indeed date older women.
Okay.
Like, who the hell's calling CJ Stroud other than a boomer, you know, trying to ask if they're still on for their 4 p.m. dinner
right.
date?
Right.
I don't know. Is Amber Rose a boomer? I don't know.
I don't know.
She's older than he is.
And before we get text pointing out, he was at the baseball game the other night with an older woman. That woman was his mom. I don't think he's dating his mom.
If you're looking at, and she's like not as old as she should be. She was the first, I was talking to her at training camp last year, and I'm like, oh, I'm looking at CJ Stroud's mother as like, well, this is a pleasant young lady.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm old now.
Yeah.
Damn it.
Oh, yeah. Definitely younger than us. Yes.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah.
Way younger.
This is, I've entered a new territory in life.
Yep. Yeah, I was surprised by that, too. I get a lot of phone calls. Like, I wonder, does he like talking on the phone? I hate talking on the phone. I wonder, do younger people, are they all into the text or do they like talking on the phone?
I canvassed the audience a while back, and I think I put the question out on Twitter, too. I think a lot of young people like FaceTiming.
Yeah.
Where they might hate being on the phone, but FaceTiming, for whatever reason, it is weird. It's weird that in some way, like, it feels less and it's just, you know what? It's just a more natural situation. There's something about being on the phone that just, not being able to see the person when they're talking. I've always hated it since the time I was a child. I'm more comfortable FaceTiming than talking on the phone.
I was fine with it.
I think a lot of young people are, too.
Yeah, I was fine with it until FaceTime became a thing. And now I'm like, oh, my God, this archaic way that we were doing it is terrible now. Like, I'm with you. Like, FaceTime is so much better.
You know the craziest thing, though, Sean?
Yeah.
Women. to generalize, but I would say in my personal experience...
I thought you were just going to stop right there.
No, I try not to think about things in terms of gender as much as possible, just so I don't end up being a jerk, you know. But I will say, the number of women I know who have like daily conversations with their mom.
Oh yeah,
and stuff. Like, it blows my mind. My sister and my mom still talk on the phone just about every day.
Yep.
And I had no idea that this was going on behind my back.
Amy talks
this plotting, this scheming, trying to steal my inheritance, apparently.
Amy talks to her mom every day, and like 20% of the time, like, she calls her mom and then sounds agitated to be on the phone with her mom. I'm like, you called her? What are we doing here?
Mom.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
you know what you're talking about, Mom.
Maybe not 20%.
That's not the way it works, Mom.
Amy's probably watching on YouTube. Just kidding, Amy. Just kidding. Yeah.
A lot of people that do daily phone calls, I've noticed, they're way too okay with dead air time.
Yeah.
They just,
long
it's
pauses.
Almost like they can just sit there and not say anything at all. And it drives me insane.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man. Hey, we got a text here. We talked about John Sterling earlier, the New York Yankees play-by-play guy retiring out of nowhere, like this week. Like, literally, a press release came out in the middle of the day, like, John Sterling is retiring immediately. And my first thought was, oh, God, who did he sexually harass? You know, like, who? like, what happened? Right?
I mean, they finally got
when
him.
When anything says effective immediately on there, either, like, there's an illness or there's something HR violation, you know?
So, yeah, this early in the season, I thought it was going to be like he's just announcing it and then that it would be, you know, a long retirement tour.
Yeah, I think he's done, right? Like doing like a ceremony for him on.
So he's got some kind of health thing.
I guess, effective immediately, he's retiring. So we played earlier one of his home run calls, the ridiculous one that he does for Giancarlo Stanton. We don't need to revisit that. Unless you have it up, Ben, and then we can revisit it because it sounds so dumb. Do you have it up? If you don't worry about it. Just give me a thumbs up. You don't? Okay, well, let's play the one that was requested by many on the text page. I'll just read one text that represents a community of you out there. 5819. Missed opportunity, Sean. Should have played the cut of Sterling getting smoked by a foul ball in the booth. Oh, ask and ye shall receive.
Now the 3-2 swung on. A pop foul back here.
Ow! Ow!
It really hit me. I didn't know it was coming back that far.
Still funny. Still funny.
It was a hell of a recovery, man.
Oh, yeah.
It caromed off the desk in front of him.
Yeah.
Bounced up and hit him, if I recall properly, in the forehead, right?
Yeah, kind of like great. Like, like going upward off the desk.
Yeah. But that's a good amount of velocity. I guess the fact that it was a glancing blow probably helped. Like, even off the carom, that's a hard desk that it bounced off of, you know? It's not like it bounced off of a pillow,
age where like any sort of blunt force trauma like shatters millions of bones? You know, like it's like he's at that age where if you just take a tumble, your hip shatters into 15 pieces.
Yeah, it's not like he's had a life of hard labor that is, you know, like calloused him and hardened, gotten him ready for something like that. Yeah.
Right. The resume says he did 5,420 Yankee games, so his job is to sit there and talk into a microphone.
Yeah.
Like us.
This is right, exactly. Sean, I got calluses.
You're
on
way more
hands.
Equipped for any sort of blunt force trauma that comes later in life than I am, for sure.
You know what, though? I didn't know. I was surprised, you know, given your current aversion to physical labor, that when you were a kid, you mowed lawns.
I did. I was a hard worker at one time.
Like, it really surprised me. I was like, you mowed lawns or you had a crew of kids that mowed lawns for you?
No, but if you recall, I did start my own laundry business in college.
That's right, you did.
I did.
It's not like you were doing the laundry. You just gathered it all up and took it to an actual launderer.
Right? The launderer came to the dorm and picked up all these bags of laundry, and I was just there with a clipboard writing down how many pounds each bag was, and I marked it up 20 cents per pound to all of my dorm mates.
So this is what happened, kids, if I remember it correctly. Correct me if I'm wrong, Sean. Yeah. You guys had like a laundry in your building.
We had a laundry. There was a laundry building on campus that did laundry for all the students. Okay. You put it in a bag and
crazy.
They come
pick, Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. But you'd put it like in a pin bag and take it and they would do the laundry
They'd
for
come
you,
pick
and
it up
it
and you then you'd go then they would bring it back to you 3 days later. I'll fold
it. So these kids are all living high on the hog, having other people do their laundry for them, and then all of a sudden the on-campus laundromat or laundry service
burned to the ground. Yeah,
young entrepreneurial Sean Pendergast saw an opportunity.
I did,
and said, "Hey, you went out and you talked to another laundry in town."
I went to a laundromat that did laundry by the pound for people who brought it in a bag, and I said, "What if I told you that I could get you 200 bags of dirty laundry a week if you just brought a truck and came and picked it up, and I will." What's your rate per pound? And they said, I don't know, 40 cents per pound. I said, well, if I get you that kind of volume, can you do it for 30 cents a pound? They said, absolutely. I said, I guarantee you get at least 100, probably 200 bags of laundry. So one morning a week, I would go down there. The kids would all drop their bags of laundry down in the basement in this room. I would meet the truck from the laundry service there. We would clipboard and write down each bag of laundry had a name on it. And I wrote down how many pounds it was, and I proceeded to mark it up 20 cents a pound to each of my fellow students. And
So you were selling for 50 cents a pound.
Yeah, man. I got to make some money in this
30
thing.
Cents.
I'm not just providing a service. I got to make money, dude. I drink a lot.
40% gross margin on that?
Hell yeah,
and how many were you paying? You said we. Did you have other people working
for
you?
Just me.
Just
the one
you.
One-man crew.
Making 40%.
Yeah, yeah, on 30 cents a
Damn.
Pound. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yep, yep, yep. Yeah, did that for a couple months. That was my junior year, and then I moved off campus my senior year. So Sean P. Laundry LLC was no more. I was.
You should have. You could have licensed it, or I mean, like, just sold it out. You know, had something. Why didn't you hire a manager?
Could have. I could have had an IPO. If it was a .com, I would have made a ton of money if I came along 10 years later and just put it on the web. You know, like, you just throw anything on the web, you were going to get 20 times revenue.
Yeah.
You know.
Tune in tomorrow, kids, and we'll tell a story about Sean coming up with Catholics versus convicts.
I wish, dude. Those guys made bank on
those guys
t-shirts.
Made a lot of money. Didn't they actually – did they have a little bootleg action going on too? Like, they had some licensing issues they ran
they
into?
They did. Yeah, yeah, they did. They had kids, major issues with the administration too at the school.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That, yeah. So there was a t-shirt when Notre Dame was playing Miami.
Yep.
Or Florida State.
Miami.
Miami. Yeah. There was an iconic T-shirt up at Notre Dame called Catholics versus Convicts.
Yeah, man. I still got one.
There's a documentary about that, isn't there?
Really good. I'm in it.
Oh, yeah. Really?
Yeah. I'm two pictures of me at the game that day. Yeah. I'm not doing like vignettes and stuff like that. But the guy who produced it is a friend of mine who's a few years younger than me but went to Notre Dame. And he asked me, he said, hey, you went there for that. You were there for that game. I said, yeah, it was my sophomore year. And yeah. I remember saying to my roommate at that game, I said, I don't know that at the end of that game, I said, I don't know that I'm ever going to be at a better sporting event than this one I was at today. And that's proven to be true. That is still to this day the greatest sporting event I've ever been to. But Jerry Bark is the name of the producer. He called me. He said, do you have any pictures from that day? I said, sure. I got a bunch of them. So I sent him a bunch of them. And two of them wound up in the documentary. I have a beautiful head of hair. I'm holding an old Milwaukee in my hand.
Oh, yeah.
Got the old T-shirt mud. On and everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what?
I'll send you the picture.
That is probably the biggest event you'll ever go to in terms of how much it's built up in your mind.
Yeah.
Because our attention is so divided these days. Even if you stay off social media and everything, like the amount of force that goes into promoting some of those big sporting events just... It'll never be the same as it used to be.
Nope.
And so especially when you're on campus and that's the game of the week and like it's on the nightly news and all of that. Yeah, that's a big, big deal.
The number of distractions we had back then from that game and the ways to watch and consume that game were like 1/100th of what they are now. You know, like there's so many other things that distract you.
And we're just talking about sports here, not even getting into perhaps other things young men might do.
Dude, it was an election year. It was 1988. Can you imagine the distractions there would have been if there was Twitter back then during that game?
Oh, it would have ruined that game.
October 15th, 1988. We were 3 weeks away from the elder Bush getting voted into office. So
all your hot takes would have been politicized online. You would have been obviously you're a Republican with that opinion.
With Catholics versus convicts on it.
Listen, I don't need some Dem telling me what. I'm not anything. I don't vote. Whatever,
dude. Yeah, man. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. Is Jim Crane the most popular owner in baseball? Someone peppering Seth Payne's email inbox tells us that the answer, we'll tell you what the answer is. And are we getting a new Todd Callis? I like speculating about this. We've got evidence from the last couple nights that maybe the emotion is it's getting there with Todd Callis when it comes to this season so far. We've got that coming up for you next.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, The energy. The tough labor. You are a fighter. And Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Okay, so is it possible that Jim Crane is the most popular owner in baseball with his own fan base? Seth, you forwarded me this email that you got from someone by the name of Anna Osborne from ResearchFrontier.com.
Yeah, Research Frontier, where apparently they do research.
Does this pass? Does this research and the results pass the smell test here?
They did a survey amongst 3,000 MLB fans to uncover the level of familiarity where their team's owner engaged the fans' sentiment towards them.
Okay.
So 3,000 MLB fans. I guess we could assume that there were about maybe 100 per team that responded.
Yeah, the total sample set, that would be 100 per team, yeah.
On average, you know, maybe Yankees are going to be more or whatever, so around 100 or so.
Yeah.
These are the three key findings, according to Frontier Research. One, Jim Crane ranks first place as the most liked MLB owner, boasting a favorable rating of 7 out of 10 from Houston Astros.
Okay,
fans.
7
I feel
out of
like
10.
That's. I don't know when this was conducted. Yeah. I think that, as you pointed out earlier, maybe it would be a little bit less than that right now. But I do think that amongst casual baseball fans, most of them aren't like. I don't think most casual people. Like, if you went out to the actual ballpark, I don't think that the majority of them there are like talking about the Astros in terms of, well, the era of Jim Crane and Jeff Bagwell as GM or what have you.
Right.
You know, like, so depending on how casual they are, I think that might still be pretty high just based on the afterglow of all the World Series appearances and ALCS appearances.
Yeah, your grade for Jim Crane as an owner right now probably largely is based on one of two things. The overall success over time of the Astros, or how you feel about how they're doing in the moment and how culpable he's been in where they are at 6-13 right now.
The second finding is one that's interesting because it shows that not only is Jim Crane the most popular, but he's the most popular by a pretty healthy margin. His likability score surpasses the MLB owner's average by 15%.
Yeah.
So it doesn't say what like who the second place person is or what have you, but like he's pretty heavily above the median there.
The average
he's well-liked.
Is yeah. The average is 6 according to this. That's so.
Oh
yeah.
Oh yeah. Well, that's not so. He's a 7 and they're a 6.
Yes, 15% higher.
That sounds less impressive. Okay.
I know. I shouldn't have done that.
Hey, no, you should, because honestly, I don't know how impressed I want to be by this.
This is how you massage polls to make them sound a certain way.
Right, exactly. The third, I was duped. You're exactly right. the third key finding from this is that 52% of Astro supporters confess to these people who just answered this question about Jim Crane.
About how much they like him, yeah.
52% confess to not knowing who Jim Crane is.
Yeah. Those are my favorite kind of people, the ones who I have no idea who the hell they are. Like,
yes.
Because they're not bothering me, you know? Like,
I've got very high approval ratings, very high. Amongst the 48% of people who know who I am, they're very, very happy with me. Very happy indeed. Yes.
Yeah, 52%. 52%. What do you think the actual approval rating is?
48% of people are talking, and they all know.
They know
that I'm the most approved owner.
They know.
What do you think the actual approval rating is?
What do you think
is?
His approval rating? This feels like a Pender poll. I may need to just do that. Yeah. What is your very simple? What is your Do you approve of Jim Crane as the owner of the Astros currently?
Yeah, what do they ask when they ask? What do they ask with presidential approval ratings?
Yeah, text
do they
in.
Just simply ask, like, do you approve of the job the owner is doing?
Yeah, how would you like me to phrase the question? Text
I
in.
I want to do it exactly the way, however they phrase the presidential approval
rating. Yes, that's how we're treating this. 713.
Just swap it out, Mad Libs it, you know, so that you're not, you know, asking about the president but an actual owner.
Yep, 572-4610 if you want to hit us with that.
I'm going to guess that currently, if what you're doing is assessing the current situation, I think it's going to be, boy, lower than 70% seems weird to say given a guy that's just, you know, he's brought two World Series and 7 straight ALCS appearances to Houston. I have a hard time thinking it's going to be below 70%.
I do too. Like I can't get with people who say Jim Crane's a bad owner. Like he's just like that's empirically just not true. He's won two World Series. He's given them the resources to get to seven straight ALCSs. He's in the midst of a period right now, though, where the decision making's been very questionable. That's undeniable. But I can't hold this as some sort of blanket grade on the rest of his tenure as the owner. He's been the owner. This is his, when he buy it, 2011. So this is his 14th season as the owner. I mean, you're talking, he's been the owner for 14 seasons. You've been to the ALCS in half of those seasons. You've been to the World Series in a third of those seasons, you know?
So Gallup, who's been doing the, they've been tracking presidential job approval ratings for more than 60 years. That's asked this question simply, and I believe it's been the same for 60 years.
Okay.
Do you approve or disapprove of the way blank is handling his job as president?
Oh, okay. So that would be good. So current approval rating, right?
Like, yeah. Do you approve or disapprove of the way Jim Crane is handling his duties as owner or... Yeah,
something along those lines. Okay, I'm going to put that up during the break.
Okay.
Do you approve or disapprove of the way Jim Crane is handling his role as owner of the Astros?
Yes.
That sound right to you?
That's fair enough, yeah. That's based on the same question they've been asking about presidents from both parties for 60 years, yeah.
Do you approve or disapprove of the way that Todd Kallas has been handling his role as play-by-play guy of the Houston Astros? I approve.
Yeah. I approve.
Yeah.
I think he's been, I'll be honest, I think last year, I started to sense that maybe Kallas and Blum were almost getting a little bit bored. It was just too much winning. It was too much winning.
This
I was
is a
tired
good
of all the winning. Yes.
You jolt.
I do. I felt like at times, like, I don't know, man, it's probably hard to just get up there and wax poetic night in after night out for 90 plus wins every damn year. I feel like this has invigorated Kallas a little bit.
Maybe.
I feel like he's treading in strange territory here other than the first half of the COVID season, in which everybody was in a strange territory. I couldn't tell you a single damn thing that I remember about the broadcast during COVID. Everything's just in a warp zone.
The stands were empty. Dude, that was a fever dream, man. That was a fever dream.
And they were doing them from home,
right?
Too.
Oh, that's right. They're from the studio. They were probably home for a little while, and then they didn't travel for a while too. Like even in 2021,
for away games, they weren't traveling for a while.
Yeah.
So I feel like Kallas has shown he's gotten a little ornery.
Yeah.
A couple times this year, and I like it.
I do too. This was Todd Kallas. Now we should preface here. This was Orlando Arcia's home run last night. That if you watch the game, you know it was a strange home run. It kind of hit on the rail where left field sort of jags back towards the bullpen.
Yeah.
And it went up and hit
the sign above the stands there, which meant that it went up, but it wasn't clear at the moment that it had.
Yeah.
So it looked like on the TV broadcast at first that it went off the yellow line and back into the field of play, in which it should have been a live ball and not a home run. But so we have the Atlanta call.
Yeah.
They were very excited about this home run.
Yeah.
And then we have Todd Kallas expressing his disgust with the way he thought it was being handled.
Here's Orlando Arcia.
In the air to left. McCormick going back. Still going. Is it gone? Yes. A solo homer for Orlando Arcia later. And it's 1-0 Atlanta.
Got just enough of it to get it over that yellow line in left field.
This could be a good look. Yeah, that's not a home run.
Yeah, that's a great shot.
That hits the yellow line in play. It has to go beyond the yellow line. Oh, yeah.
But it clearly hit the yellow line. Isn't that what you're looking for?
Absolutely. This is not going to be a home run.
The ruling on the field is confirmed. It is a home run.
No, it's not. How's that not in play?
So the yellow line is a home run?
As it turned out, it was a home run, right?
The rule is that if it hits a yellow line and goes back in play, then it's in play. If it hits a yellow line and goes out of play, then it's a home run. And it's specifically like the Houston ground rules. They specifically mentioned that yellow railing there at the Crawford boxes. As you're staring at the Crawford boxes, it's the railing to the right of the Crawford boxes.
But rules or no rules, we like that cut because Kallas got chippy there, right?
I like it immediately. He just got – I feel like sometimes they'll be, you know, like all announcers, they'll try to be diplomatic about whether or not the call went their way.
No diplomacy. They
don't want to sound like homers. I think Kallas is like, no, there's no time to worry about whether or not I sound too much like a homer. We got a losing damn record here, man.
6-12. Yeah, I got to protest. So that was last night. two nights ago, forget about the umpires and calling a home run, Callis had a nice little shot across the bow of certain Astro fans here that were trying to do the wave during a close game. And we should point out, we had a few texters text in after you and I discussed this, Seth. We were discussing whether or not CJ stood up during the wave. Yeah. That was the lead-in, evidently, to this bit of audio we're about to hear, is they were complimenting CJ for not standing during the wave. Yeah, okay. that's the lead-in to this.
Going back to my wave comment, if it's a 12-3 game in the eighth, you guys do all the waves you want to. Have a blast. When it's this kind of a game,
you're stirring it up, TK.
I don't want the wave. I don't.
No, lock
in. This has been a great game.
Okay, from the player's perspective, to your point, what you just said, I'll explain it. Is if the fans were doing the wave in that situation and told me they were not focused on the game. That's the only thing I'm saying.
That's what I'm saying.
That's what we said.
Yeah. Callis and Blum, simpatico on this topic.
People will say that, hey, Seth, be nice about the wave. It's for the kids. To which I say, when the hell did everything have to start being about the kids?
Exactly.
Tell your stupid kid to shut up
right. And
sit down, okay? That's a
it's well documented that I will if there's kids acting up near me that have BO, yeah. I will have them
That's
removed
right.
from their seats. Remember that? Remember when Amy and I were sitting? We were sitting in the front row by the bullpen and there were empty seats next to us, and some kids who clearly those weren't their seats came down and they were kneeling over the leaning, over the railing in the bullpen trying to get autographs and trying to catch balls from relievers who were out there, and I knew those weren't their seats, and I would have let them hang, except they both stunk. They were like 12 or 13 and hadn't discovered Speed Stick yet or any sort of deodorant. So I said, Usher, remove these two, please. So I ain't afraid. If your kid's standing up in front of me during the wave, I'm not afraid to just palm the top of their cranium and shove them back down into their seat like whack-a-mole, you know?
Did anybody around you say, like, hey, man, just let the kids be
they
kids?
They hailed me
like
as
that?
A conquering hero. The radius that BO was...
Really? It was that bad,
It was
huh?
bad. It was...
How do you have BO at that age?
Pungent.
It doesn't seem...
13? Oh, guess, puberty, man. Like, that's
I guess
puberty.
That's when you start getting the BO, huh?
This we know. Seth stunk as a 13-year-old.
Exactly. Yeah, no. I was a showering fanatic, damn
Were
it.
You?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Couldn't be. I was like a young Howard Hughes. I was a cleanliness freak.
Someone says 9513. That Jim Crane poll sounded like it was done by the same people that did the poll that came out with 4 of 5 dentist survey recommend sugarless gum for their patients who chew gum. Whatever happened to those polls? Those were great.
I'm going to hire those people to do a Seth Payne approval rating.
Yes! But
try to find as many people that don't actually know who I am, because it seems like they're going to say yes. If they don't know who they are, they don't want to grade you down if they don't know who you are. So, just find a pool of people. I don't know. Go to Uruguay and ask them how they feel about Seth Payne.
Email her back.
9 out of 10 Uruguayans approve of Seth Payne.
There you go. Hey, let's hear from Will Anderson. What does Will Anderson think of his new teammates? Will's fired up. He's going to get you fired up about his new teammates. And the poll is on the you can go to my Twitter, at Sean T. Pendergast. Do you approve or disapprove of the way Jim Crane is handling his role as owner of the Astros? We got a few dozen votes. I just put it up about 20 seconds ago. So go vote, at Sean T. Pendergast. And follow at Sports Radio 610 as well.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week 1. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
We love Will Anderson, and Will Anderson has new friends, and one of them is named Daniil. His name is Daniil Hunter. Here's what Will Anderson thinks of his new friend, Daniil Hunter.
Yeah, I haven't got a chance to work with him yet, but it was crazy how everything just took place because I got a chance to meet him at Pro Bowl. To come to find out, he's with the same agency. So, you know, me and him have been talking back and forth. And, man, he's a great guy. He loves ball. He doesn't want to do anything else but play football. And I know he loves cars. But having a guy like that, a vet in a room like that, who can inspire so many of us, you know, teach us so much stuff and we can learn from him. He has a lot of great tools, a lot of great ability. He has great leadership. And and he just knows what it takes to be one of the greats in this league, man. So I'm very eager to learn from him, to play along beside him, and really just see how this thing goes, man. We're really excited.
Dude, so are we, Will. So are we. Can't wait to see how this thing goes.
Yeah, and I think Danielle Hunter's ability to be a mentor to Will Anderson, you know, is invaluable. You're not going to be able to put a number on it or anything. And it's not like Will Anderson, though, is some rookie who needs a veteran to come in and show him, like, how to be dedicated or anything. Like, that's where I feel like you're starting. You're getting a head start on Danielle Hunter helping Will Anderson, because all of the intangible stuff, that's already taken care of. It can really very much be a nuts and bolts. Tips for rushing the passer, how to overcome obstacles when you're rushing the passer, like all of these various things, and just watching the way Danielle Hunter goes about his business. Because Danielle is he's a professional pass rusher. You know, he's not just skating by on being ridiculously explosive or tough or anything like that. He's worked at his craft, and I think that's going to be really good for Will Anderson.
Yeah, he's like stat-wise, man. Like he's right there with the T.J. Watts and the, you know, the Miles Garrett's of the world, the Nick Bosa's of the world, like statistic. And he's been doing it a little longer than those guys too.
When J.J. talks about him as being underrated,
yeah,
I think it's a combination of a couple things. It's one, you know, playing at Minnesota, which isn't, like, that's not a death sentence or anything. But you don't get as much attention, you know, between the team, the location, all that. But also the fact that he's been very, very consistent, but without like a huge breakout year where he's the sack leader or something like that.
Yeah.
So he's kind of just flown under the radar and yet still been a top five pass rusher.
Yeah.
So like it's a sweet spot in a lot of ways.
I think it feels like the exact type of guy D'Amico describes as he wants on the team. Like, you know what you're getting. Like, you know what you're getting out of that guy.
Yeah.
So that's Will on Danielle Hunter. Now here's Will Anderson on D'Amico Autry.
He just brings a type of different juice to the team, you know, especially the position group, man. He's excited to have somebody like that in the group, somebody that can bounce around from the inside to the outside. And it just helps everybody in the room, because now teams are like, well, this guy's going to line up right here, this guy's going to line up right here, this guy's going to line up right here. So they have to give an account to everybody on the D-line. So it's really exciting to have a guy like that in the room, man. He's very physical. He plays his butt off. I got a chance to watch him last year go against us, and, man, he's very disruptive. So he's another guy that I can't wait to play alongside of.
One of the biggest things that's hard for defensive coordinators, and it happens more and more these days in the NFL, is when you've got to be out there in your nickel defense, which is when you've got five defensive backs and you're usually taking out a linebacker. It's when you're out there in your nickel defense, but you can't stop the run.
Yeah.
And it's a bad spot to be in, because you're out there. It's a pass rushing defense. You're out there to rush the passer. But when the other team is able to run the ball versus your nickel defense or your dime defense, you start running out of solutions real quick. That's when you have to start blitzing and exposing yourself even more. So one of the valuable things about D'Amico Autry is that you want to have guys who are pass rushers but who can also play the run down inside. And that's what D'Amico Autry is.
Yeah.
So he gives you that option that, man, all right, we got to play nickel, we got to play dime against this offense, but they're also really good at running the ball out of those formations. Please get D'Amico Autry down in there, and that goes a long way. That helps the guys out behind him a lot.
Are you more bummed that we haven't gotten a D'Amico Autry press conference or a Stephon Diggs press conference?
Well, I guess Stephon Diggs, just because, I mean, that's the given one that people are clamoring for.
Me too, but...
And he is, and he's actually pretty entertaining, like, especially in this type of circumstance where everything, there's no pressure really right now or anything. He would be delightful. He hasn't, you know, had any run-ins with any local reporters or anything. Yeah, it would be really nice to get a Stephon Diggs press conference.
The answer is Diggs for me too, but I'm anxious to get to know this D'Amico Autry character a little bit here after all the various descriptions that we've had of D'Amico Autry, from anywhere from Nick Caserio to, I mean, you just heard Will Anderson saying he brings an extra type of juice to the defense. Like, there's nobody that's talked about D'Amico Autry that's kept from talking about his
like
personality.
What a badass he is.
What a badass. Yeah, like his football personality, you know?
I worry about it. I think they need to back off a little bit, because what's going to happen, it's going to be like in the Old West when all of a sudden you're known as a badass gunfighter and everybody wants to fight you. You can't walk into a saloon without somebody challenging you to a duel.
Yeah.
I feel like D'Amico Autry is going to be he'll walk into he'll walk into the HEB, and all of a sudden some 13-year-old kid wants to fight him because he heard he's the baddest dude
Chad
in town.
From West U walks up to him. Hey, listen, tough guy.
I hear you're the one to beat.
I heard on Payne and Pendergast that you're a junkyard dog and a bad MF-er. Well, let's just see how bad an MF-er you are. Hold my tennis racket, sweetie. Did you see this? Chiefs Travis Kelce to host game show.
Oh.
Are you smarter?
It's finally working out for
him. Are you smarter than a celebrity? Dude, the hits just keep on coming. The distractions for the Chiefs and Travis Kelce.
I think the natural reaction is, okay, here we go. The distractions of being with Taylor Swift mm-hmm. and doing all of this. This will be the year that he gets his comeuppance.
That's what I want.
I would love that, except this is the problem. This is the problem, Sean.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly the same thing people were saying during the season last year. And because Travis Kelce, remember, all of a sudden he was endorsing everything.
Yeah.
He was all over everything. He was everywhere. He was dating Taylor Swift. Yep. It was just over penetration. And then he gets to the playoffs and it was all the same as usual. I feel like this is like whatever this thing comes out, they've shot them all already, yeah. right? They've done this is the way the game shows work, people. Yeah. They shoot like 6 episodes a day.
That's right.
So I feel like whatever distraction this would have been, it's already in the can, yep. you know, before the offseason program even begins.
Here's the description. It's going to be on Amazon Prime, okay? So that's where you can watch it. It's a 20-episode show, and they're categorizing it as a spinoff of the popular game show, Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader? And it's going to air on Premiere on Prime Video. Travis Kelce says, quote, I grew up loving game shows and I'm excited to be following in the footsteps of so many TV icons by hosting my very first one with Are You Smarter Than a Celebrity? This is a news release. The original show is a great success. So to be bringing a new format with everyone's favorite celebrities to the screen, it'll definitely be entertaining. I'll watch it. I'll watch it. Amy and I are huge game show nerds. Confession.
Yeah.
Huge game show nerds. Yeah.
Taylor Swift is going to make an appearance.
For sure.
She'll be one of the celebrities that people will see if they're smarter than or not.
Yeah.
Aaron Rodgers, presumably. If there's somebody that's smarter than everybody, then certainly it'll be. There'll certainly be a Pat Mahomes appearance. I think this thing's going to do good numbers just because of the actual celebrities.
I'll be anxious to see what is considered a celebrity on the show. Because the celebrity all-star NBA game, as I've brought up a couple times since CJ Stroud played in it, was a stark reminder that the definition of celebrity nowadays, because of all the different platforms out there, and I'm not complaining about it, I'm just stating it is what it is. Like,
you're not being grumpy old man
about
it.
No, not at all.
But it's just, we live in a world where there's like people who are super famous that the majority of Americans don't actually know who they are.
Yeah.
And in your world, this person is like incredibly famous, and yet most people don't even know who it is.
Right. Yeah, totally.
So like how many of those are going to be the actual celebrities?
Yeah, like I said, I'm a WWE nerd. I realize if I started firing off WWE names, I'd alienate 90% of the audience. You know what I mean? Like that's what I'm anxious to see. I actually, Seth, I went to the Game Show Network website and I entered my name for 4 different game shows.
Like to be a contestant?
Yes, yes.
Oh.
Yeah, I've not heard
back
yet.
Which ones?
And again, being a game show nerd, this is going to be a little like the famous thing we just talked about. I'm going to name these game shows. A lot of people won't know them because they're game shows. It's not like it's The Price is Right or Family Feud.
Right.
Split Second, which is sort of an individual trivia, timed trivia game. Switch, also a trivia game.
Yeah, I don't know either of these.
Yep. Okay. The big one was America Says, which is actually a team. It's a 4-person team thing. You go against another team of 4. It's a little like Family Feud, where they survey America, and they give you that we asked America, and they do something like, when I go to a baseball game, I always think about blank. And then they put the top 7 answers up on a screen, and you get the first letter of each answer given to you.
So it's like a combo of Family Feud and Wheel of Fortune.
A little bit, yeah. And the space after each first letter is the length of however long the answer is. You know, so the answer baseball is not going to be as long as like basketball. You know what I mean? So you're able to see like, okay, how long's the word and what's the first letter? And you have 30 seconds as a team to try to answer as many as you can. And, you know, just keep going down the row. So I entered our team. Amy is amazing at this game. So she's incredible at America Says. She's really good at it.
Yeah.
I answered me, Amy, John Harris, who I would bring with me to any game show ever because he's super smart and has incredible retention. And we added Vanessa Richardson to our team because we wanted somebody in that younger generation, because some of the questions do have some pop culture elements to that.
But also they'll like that too as they're looking at the you guys will be appealing
to the producers
when they're looking at this.
They ask for everybody's social media when you put the intro
Good. They'll see Vanessa does funny stuff with Boban.
Got
a funny picture of him. Vanessa tweeted out a funny picture of Boban in traffic. Boban was sitting in the passenger seat by himself.
Dude, what?
Of whatever.
How are his knees not up next to his ears?
I don't know, but also I had the impression that like Vanessa had stopped in an intersection or something. Can you imagine pulling up to a stoplight, looking to your left, and it's a car with Boban in the passenger seat?
Yeah,
nobody,
dude.
I would
of
assume
all people.
that dude ate whoever was in the driver's seat. I guess. Like that person didn't pay the toll for the bridge and Boban ate him.
He looks like a mythical creature. He does.
Yes.
And I say that in the nicest possible way.
So did you say all four of the shows that you had signed up for?
The fourth one was
Supermarket Sweep.
I would go on that. I would go on Family Feud too. To be honest with Family Feud, we want to sign up for, but you have to be married, blood relative, or adopted. And so Amy and I are trying to cobble together who our five would be. We don't
married,
neither of us
blood relative or adopted.
Yeah, okay. Neither of us
for
have
all
big
people.
Families.
You got to be genuine family.
Yeah. So Brandon Scott is here. Hey, if you could go on a game show, what game show would you go on?
It'd probably be Family Feud. I've got enough Family Feud between all sides that I could probably conjure something up.
Do you
together.
Watch Family Feud?
And really, I only started once Steve Harvey became
the
host.
Best.
And I would do it just to see some of the reactions he might have to some of my more gregarious
family members.
Oh,
some of your relatives?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Like maybe not necessarily me, but I know some folks that could really cut up.
Really?
And kind of get down. Steve Harvey reminds me a little bit of some of my relatives.
Okay.
So I feel like it would for better or worse. Maybe for better and worse.
No, that'd be fun. Yeah, he does great with those.
I think it'd be hilarious. Stephon Diggs had a hilarious Family Feud
made
moment
its rounds
with,
more
with
recently,
Steve Harvey.
Yeah.
So no, I think we would have some
leave
stuff
it
that would be
blank.
Pretty good. Yeah, that would be it would be some good content.
He said in. Landry, he did say that, yes.
Stephon Diggs was on
Family Feud. Yeah, they did. Sometimes it was probably NFL versus.
They won, though.
Did they win?
Yeah, they won. He just had one bad answer.
So they won money?
No, the funny part was that it wasn't.
He got
that,
enough points.
No, the funny part was that it was, you know, and there maybe an inappropriate answer, but it was the first thing that clearly came to his mind.
Sure.
And it wasn't a terrible answer.
Did he get a zero?
It was a zero.
Okay, got a zero.
Everybody understood it.
It's a pretty bad answer.
Nobody. Were you confused? Were you confused by it?
I mean,
I wasn't.
You're trying to win, B. Scott.
I'm just saying.
A bad answer. If it's zero, well, isn't you know, a bad
you,
answer.
But you got to put your mind in the people who take these surveys.
Right.
They're talking to scientists, you know.
Yeah, sure.
Of a kind.
Yeah.
That's science.
Sure they are.
That is science.
Which game show would you go on, Landry? You could pick one.
If I could pick a game show?
Yeah.
Price is Right,
yeah.
It's too hard to get on the stage, though. It's not even really in your control. That's the only problem I have is that it's like so hard to get up on that show.
Yep.
Yeah, I sat in the audience for Wheel of Fortune here in town when I was a kid. It would have had to have been in like the late 90s or something like that. And I was underwhelmed by it. Like, it wasn't like this great experience that I thought it was going
to
be.
My stepdad was on obviously. Let's Make a Deal, and we used to play it, and we would make fun of him. He was dressed as a pirate, and his business ass tried to negotiate. Like, when they offer you to, like, bail out, offered him 100. He said, how about 200? And they're just like, that doesn't work like that, sir.
While dressed like a pirate,
and he had to pick like dwarves or something like that, like Snow White and the Seven Dwarves.
Oh, really?
You know, it used to be like the party whip it out watch that.
Do you? Oh, so you've got the footage?
We did. Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah,
I love that. All right, fellas, let's go. Let's go. Be great today in the loop. Landry Locker, Brandon Scott, Figgy Fig. They are here. Seth, I will see you tomorrow for a Thursday show. Antibodies to you, my friend.
Antibodies plus a dollar to you.
Thank you. Okay, yeah, see? A little Price is Right spirit for you right there. I like that.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week 1. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.